Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Wall Street answers when you call 911. Plus, the feds are predicting a food chain reaction. But first, maybe a good kind of unrest, as 7 in 10 Americans agree economy rigged against them. And this story comes via our friends at Blacklisted News. The latest Marketplace Edison research poll shows Americans stress over their personal financial situation building even before Brexit. The poll asked basic questions about, for example, household budgets, family vacations, and paying bills. Americans' responses showed that in May, our country's anxiety level climbed to its highest point since the beginning of this Marketplace Edison research poll. A couple of things Americans said: more of them are losing sleep over their financial situation, 32% now compared with 28% in September 2015. They are less confident that they could find a new job within 6 months if they were to lose their current job. 41% are very confident about finding a new job compared with the 46% in September 2015. On questions about trade and economic fairness, issues that British voters debated in the UK before Brexit and that are resonating in the US 2016 presidential campaign, a majority of Americans, 55%, think the decline in manufacturing jobs is more due to trade deals than natural changes in the economy. Americans from across the economic and political spectrum, 71% of them, think the U.S. economy is rigged in favor of certain groups. By the way, a majority of Americans also say the word afraid describes their feelings about this presidential selection campaign. One of the words they also use is embarrassed. Now, there's a cliche that says once you've lost everything, you're free to do anything. Is this it? Are we coming to these points? Because only once the faith falls away of these obviously not trustworthy institutions, can we begin to move forward and create something else, right?
Yes, absolutely. And just to back this up, I mean, trust these polls as far as you can throw them. I think they're usually meant as psyops on the public more so than reflections of public opinion. But there's also a Quinnipiac University poll that just came out that shows that not only do both candidates of the, you know, left and right wing of this bird of prey enjoy high unfavorability ratings. They are both more unfavorable than favorable, so they are actually hated by most of the public. But also, 61% of the public agree with the statement that the 2016 election has increased the level of hatred and prejudice in the U.S. So, mission accomplished, social engineer overlords. The public hates the government, and yet they're going to flock in droves to cast a vote against the person they don't like more, basically, rather than voting for something they actually want, even if that was something which we want, which of course it isn't. The point of all of this is not so that every 4 years you can tick a box or punch a Chad in a ballot or, worse yet, touch a touchscreen and elect someone into office who's going to run the country and make everything better. The real solution, as we always, always, always say, starts at home. So this is, assuming this does reflect a growing discontent among the public, this is the first step toward building up something new and something better. But it doesn't start and end at the ballot box. It starts when we start realizing that we have to start taking the power back by nullifying the federal government or the state government or the local government, any of their edicts that we don't like, and starting to do the open source, peer-to-peer, agoristic, community-based solutions like alternative and complementary currencies and making our own media and all of that real solution to the craziness that we see going on. It starts at home. I'm going to put links in for all of those things that I've talked about before on the Corbett Report in the show notes. So if any of these things appeal to you, if you are outraged by the political situation, I suggest you start at those starting points so we can start building something we actually want rather than fighting against what we don't want.
That's it. James, I often think back of the Bush re-election years when I look at what's going on right now. And no, there's no incumbent running again. But I see the sort of 2 minutes hate that's focused on, actually on both sides. There's almost enough to go around. It's the very thing that, just as you said, gets you more of what you claim to not want. It's what you're investing your intentions into. It's what you're investing your time. And in a lot of ways, and in some esoteric ways, you're manifesting that hatred, and you're going to get the thing that you're most afraid of because that's what you've put your heart and soul into. So if you put your heart and soul into things that we really want and the things that will really help us, that's going to move us forward. And again, that's not just hippy-dippy, the secret, you know, wish it and it'll happen kind of stuff. James, a really interesting story came out earlier this week, and we'll grab it from allgov.com. Wall Street answers when you call 911. A Tennessee woman slipped into a coma and died after an ambulance company took so long to assemble a crew that one worker even had time to smoke a cigarette. Paramedics in New York had to covertly swipe medical supplies from a hospital to restock their depleted ambulances after emergency runs. A man in the suburban South watched a chimney fire burn his house to the ground as he waited for the fire department, which billed him anyway and then sued him $15,000 when he didn't pay. In each of these cases, someone dialed 911 and Wall Street answered. The business of driving ambulances and operating fire brigades represents just one facet of a profound shift on Wall Street and Main Street alike, a New York Times investigation has found. Since the 2008 financial crisis, private equity firms, the corporate raiders of an earlier era, the real-life barbarians at the gate, that's what the book is about, have increasingly taken over a wide array of civic and financial services that are central to American life. Today, people interact with private equity when they dial 911, pay their mortgage, play a round of golf, or turn on the kitchen tap for a glass of water. Private equity put a unique stamp on these businesses, unlike other for-profit companies, which often has years of experience making a product or offering a service. Private equity is primarily skilled in making money. And in many of these businesses, as the New York Times found, private equity firms applied a sophisticated money-making playbook, a mix of cost cuts, price increases, lobbying, and litigation. In emergency care and firefighting, this approach creates the fundamental tension, the push to turn a profit while caring for people in their most vulnerable moments. This is actually a really long article, and it gets into a lot of the usual suspects you would expect to see, KKR and a lot of the consulting firms and the management firms. James, this is what they mean by free market, right?
No, it's not. A free market would imply competition, but that's not what happens here. You can't dial 919 or 811 or anything else. You dial 911 and you get the services that are offered on the other end of that line. And those services these days are being provided through the auspices of these private equity firms that have bought it up from the crony government that hands it over to them on a silver platter in turbulent economic times. So that's not the market at all. In fact, that's just the privatization of the monopolistic system that was set up by the government. Can you imagine actual competition in services for services like these? So that you could have consumer watchdogs that say, oh, you know, this service, look at their average response time. Whereas this service, look at their average response time and look at how many patients die on the way to the hospital in this service versus this service, and actually evaluating the service based on what it is. And could you imagine you could sue them if they show up later than promised, responding to the house fire, instead of them suing you because you don't want to pay them for taking a smoke break on the way to, you know, put your house fire out. This is not the market at all. This is just monopolization. And then the taking of that monopolistic service that the government claims to provide and selling it off to the highest bidder. And that's lose-lose for absolutely everybody except, I guess, the shareholders in the private equity firms.
James, I got a couple of other stories that go along with that. One is a new one. Google's Sidewalk Labs want to run public transportation now as, again, the merger continues. And it's been said before, you know, the governments take over the business or the businesses take over the government. Doesn't really matter because the end result is basically going to be the same. And it's basically going to be a lot of what we're seeing right now. A classic story I've got posted over 8 years ago on MediaMonarchy.com. 6 U.S. cities tamper with traffic cameras for profit. And again, this is another way where private contractors come in, control the things in your city. And basically what they were doing is dialing down the yellow in between lights so that they could rack up more red light tickets. You know, some people wreck and die, but hey, it's just business, right? So again, all of those links will be included in the show notes. As again, everything that we say and play in these episodes will always be included in these notes. James, our third and final story again, as I think all of these stories chart a way forward that doesn't look very good. FEMA contractor predicts social unrest caused by the 395% food price spike. This comes via the increasingly suspicious Vice, also written by the kind of suspicious Nafees Ahmed. So again, we kind of wonder why these messages come forward at the right time. This is also, as I come to you at the We're at the end of June of 2016, James. This is the most popular story on Motherboard right now on Vice. The U.S. national security industry is planning for the impact of an unprecedented global food crisis lasting as long as a decade, according to reports by a government contractor. The studies, published by CNA Corporation in December 2015, unreported until now, Vice Motherboard gets the breaking exclusive, describes a detailed simulation of a protracted global food crisis from 2020 to the vaunted year 2030. The simulation, titled Food Chain Reaction, was a desktop gaming exercise involving the participation of 65 officials from the U.S., Europe, Africa, India, Brazil, and key multilateral and intergovernmental institutions. The scenario for the Food Chain Reaction simulation was created by experts brought in from the State Department, the World Bank, Cargill, and independent specialists. CNA Corporation's Institute for Public Research, which ran the simulation, primarily provides scientific research services for the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So held in November from the 9th and 10th, and last fall, 2015, the game attempted to simulate a plausible global food crisis triggered by food price and supply swings amidst burgeoning population growth, rapid urbanization, severe weather events, and social unrest. By 2024, the scenario saw global food prices spike as much as 395% due to prolonged crop failures in key food basket regions, driven largely by climate change, oil price spikes, and confused responses from the international community. Quote, disruptions affected developed and developing countries alike, creating political and economic instability and contributing to social unrest in certain areas, end quote, the project's technical report states. The report notes that at the end of the simulation, the teams highlighted the important role of extreme weather events and food insecurity in exacerbating instances of significant internal and external migration and social unrest. These, in turn, greatly contribute to conflict. So they have been wargaming, essentially, food riots. James, I won't miss an opportunity to say, send in the scoops.
Yeah. I really wonder what this story is. Is this really breaking important news? So there has been some kind of simulation of some, you know, test tabletop exercise about what could happen, you know, if there was a food crisis. I mean, I don't know. This is obviously a bit of tempest in the teapot for Vice, but hey, it seems to be working for them. So good job, guys. But no, I mean, to be fair, sometimes these types of simulations are valuable for us to understand what the long-term agenda is. And I will just say the words revolution, flash mobs, and brain chips. Type that into a search engine or better yet, use the show notes down below so that you can find when the Ministry of Defense in the UK was talking about that probably a decade ago by this point. And yeah, a lot of what they were talking about is starting to come to pass now. And we can see the vision of the future that the UK Ministry of Defense was thinking about. And now we get an insight into what the US national security apparatus may be thinking about. But again, I think these types of exercises are really more, when they play them out in this way, they're really looking for what could be the best social engineering tool. So if we do this, what is likely to occur and how can we benefit from this? Again, it doesn't necessarily tell us what's going to happen, but it certainly tells us what, you know, what they're thinking about might make a good crisis for the next stage of, you know, development of the New World Order, basically. So, anyway, keep that all in mind. And yes, when they start saying, you know, climate change is going to cause the next big food crisis, then you know where they got that idea and what they're going to do with it.
I tend to look at sort of the themes and memes of why these stories are coming out at the same time and try and look in some ways, I guess, at the forest a little bit. At the same time, you've got NPR hyping the strategic national stockpile at the CDC in a story called Inside a Secret Government Warehouse Prepped for Health Catastrophes. That's NPR's headlines. That's not crazy conspiracy theory website. In the article, they also talk to a former Homeland Stupidity worker who now works for what NPR calls a nonprofit that helps bring technological innovation to the U.S. intelligence community. It's NQTEL, the CIA's investment arm, but NPR totally leaves that part out. They just say, oh, they're just a nonprofit that helps bring tech to the intelligence community. So those are the things they're prepping. And James, I would just say here at the end of our three main stories, this is our 275th episode, and it's going up the last day of June, basically the exact halfway point for 2016. Not super awesome so far, buddy. Any thoughts about kind of where we are here at the halfway mark and where we might be in six more months? I know you and I sort of do a rather formal look back at the year and look ahead at the coming year at the very end, but I thought here at the halfway part, maybe just put you on the spot and see what your thoughts are.
All I can say is it's going to be a long, hot summer. We're shaping up for more and more unrest, as those polls we were talking about earlier showed. And I mean, even without any further economic disturbances or food crises or anything of that sort, just the elections alone are going to exacerbate tensions that already exist in the United States, and that will have spillover in other places. So it's going to be, I mean, tempestuous and tumultuous, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I think we can see the trends. They're already developing, and we know where they're going from here.
That's what I've been watching kind of each and every morning, and I just see the hype building, and I see people, it's what seems like, really excited to be angry and get in fights with people. That almost seems to be the driving force of what a lot is going on right now. It's not all bad news, just mostly bad news. The latest episode of my spinoff series, Good News Next Week, West Virginia comes together after historic floods. You have no doubt heard of the catastrophic floods in my home state of West Virginia. I'm really proud of my parents. Pretty much spent all weekends helping out, donating, volunteering in the state and doing good work. And those are the kind of things that really, when the rubber meets the road of what actually happens and do you take care of your people and of your community. And I can thankfully say that West Virginia really does that. Some of the other stories you tweeted: Brexit raises doubts over NATO-EU military cooperation. CFR Stooge says it's time for the elites to rise up against the ignorant masses. That is the title of his article for Foreign Policy. And one of the stories we've covered here recently: IRS still unrestrained on asset seizures despite deal to return confiscated cash. So besides the IRS story, I would say a lot of these things, I can't help but see them pointing in some ways to World War III or World War IV, if you want to call it that. It's bringing the breakdown of a lot of these world institutions. I mean, we're now discussing NATO and NAFTA and the EU, and a lot of things are breaking apart. And again, engineered on some level, but it's also been happening because people have been waking up. There's no doubt about it. So we'll continue to track all that.
And I just want to say they're going to take that, all that energy, and direct it against ourselves, each other. That's what it's about. It's about Civil War II more than World War III. They want us to fight each other, and we have to find a way out of that.
I see a lot of that being hyped, not only with Trump, but just with a lot of the social engineering, the divide and conquer fights. I see it in the media, James. There's going to be a movie coming out soon. I've mentioned a lot on the morning show called The Purge, Election Year. And it's about basically rioting in the streets and killing politicians, you know, and killing your fellow man as well. Those are the things that people are really enjoying at the movie theater in this long, hot summer. But hopefully you're not there. You're here watching independent, non-commercial alternative media. So that's how we roll.
All right, let's do it. And I'll direct you once again to all those solutions that are going to be in the show notes. All right, we'll leave it there for this week. James, talk to you again next week.
Sweet. Thanks.